folks, welcome to Leader of the Pack on the All Paws Pet Radio Network. I'm one of your hosts. From Fort Worth, Texas, I'm Susan Herbert, the Lone Star Dog Whisperer. And my co-host is America's canine expert, Mark German.
Well, thank you, Susan. I just love your New England accent.
Right.
People seem to tell me I sound like I'm from New York City, but, you know, South Bronx, but that's all right. Well, hello,
They're
everyone.
They're lying to you.
I hear you. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Just real quick, we welcome your questions and comments. We encourage you to email us, talk to our guests, talk to us, ask your questions. You can email us during the show at pettalk@live.com. Susan?
We have a couple of really great guests today on the show. Most people have heard of the antidepressant called Prozac. Well, they make a form of it for dogs, too. And so we're going to be talking to Giulio Ferrari, our super smart and super sassy nutritional correspondent today. He's going to share his take on this ever-increasing trend. So stay tuned to get the scoop and the poop on puppy Prozac. But first, we're going to talk to our new friend and colleague, Kathy Brooks, from the Hydrant Club in downtown Las Vegas. Welcome, Kathy.
Thanks for having me, Susan and Mark.
Well, thanks, Kathy, and congratulations on your success with the Las Vegas State Commission.
Just the city this time. I haven't tackled the state yet.
It looked big, and we got to watch it, and congratulations on getting that approved. And, you know, let's talk about it. Tell us what this Hydrant Club is of yours.
So the Hydrant Club is a reimagining of what a dog facility can be. You know, we all know about public dog parks. We all know about daycare facilities and boarding facilities. But over the years, as I've had my own dogs and I've seen how those have operated, I've had some pretty serious issues around them. Dog parks are, you know, really, there are lots of phrases I use to describe them, none of which are polite enough to use on the air. But suffice to say, they're generally a bit of a nightmare. And when you're looking at a daycare facility, it's a facility where someone essentially outsources the care of their dog. They're just dropping their dog off. But to have a place where people can go with their dog and learn the importance, especially in an urban environment like here in downtown Las Vegas, the importance of responsible dog ownership and dog citizenship, both from the dog's perspective and the human's perspective. And that's a learned behavior. And so the Hydrant Club is equal parts. It is a membership access club, so kind of like a social club or a community center, that allows people to come with their dogs to get the proper behavioral education, understand what their dog's behavior is all about, and how to actually communicate with their dog in a way that their dog understands.
And how do you plan on doing that, Kathy?
You mean besides working with you guys?
Oh, I wasn't throwing in that plug.
I just have to say, you know, I came here to Las Vegas in early February, and I specifically timed my arrival so that I would arrive in time for the Vegas Pet Expo. So I come to town. I'm exhausted that morning. I wasn't going to go to the expo. I thought, there'll be more events. But I decided to go anyway. And I had been there about a half hour, and I decided, most of these dogs are so ill-mannered, and I got to get out of here. But I decided I was going to turn a corner and walk down one more aisle. And that's when I met you guys. And really the philosophy that you expound about the importance of pack leadership, the importance of giving a dog a stable environment by starting being a stable human. Now, unstable person isn't going to be able to have a stable dog. And have started doing some work with people here already. I'm thrilled when you guys come to town that we'll have an opportunity to be working together, not just while you're here, but certainly in the future. And it's an educational process. It's going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight. The good news is that this is a community that is so hungry for information because there just isn't any.
We know
there's not enough. That's for sure.
There's a lot of trainers out there. I mean, a gamillion trainers, but there's still a gamillion dogs that might know tricks, but they're still out of control.
Well, I saw this just the other day. A young man with about a 3-year-old, really large pit bull, beautiful dog, unaltered. He is, however, breeding the dog, so he has good reason for the dog to not be altered at this stage yet. And the dog does all sorts of fancy tricks, but this dog is wound. The dog is wound tighter than a $3 watch.
Right. He eats children, but he knows how to sit.
And when you go bang bang, he rolls over. You know,
oh, isn't that cute? Well, that'll stop him from attacking another dog.
Exactly. So, you know, there are and when I had a conversation with this young man and explained to him the difference that obedience, doing tricks, is not behavior, and how the dog is wired and how the dog, you know, acts. When I explained to him that there is a categorical difference between those two things, it was like a light bulb went on over his head. It's not that he was being inconsiderate or that he was being sloppy in his training. He just didn't know.
Correct.
He just didn't know.
Now tell us where this Hydrant Club is going to be located.
So we are located right in the heart of downtown Las Vegas. We are part of the Downtown Project, which is Tony Hsieh, the CEO of Zappos, was kind of his brainchild, the revitalization of downtown Las Vegas. We'll be at the corner of 9th and Fremont Streets.
Oh, nice.
So right downtown, and there's a new container park retail area going in about a block away. There's a whole educational facility going in the other direction. There's a lot of development going on right in this central core. So we've got a great location squarely in the middle of four or five very large apartment buildings, one of which, the one where I live, is the Ogden, and it's fondly nicknamed the Dogden because there are so many dogs that live in the building. Mm. None of them have any social skills, by the way.
Potential clients. They're all potential clients. So you've got looks like you've got job security.
I like to hope so. I like to hope so.
Well, so we're about to go to break here shortly, but Kathy, you are basically a transplant from the Bay Area.
I have been here 5 months, almost to the day. I was working in the technology industry for the last 20 years, while on the side doing some what I call junior varsity dog training, very, very basic, kind of basic obedience behavioral stuff, you know, mostly as a hobby and for fun. It was really back in 2000, I was involved in San Francisco in a pretty terrible experience there. There was a murder trial in San Francisco. A woman was killed by two dogs in the hallway of her Pacific Heights apartment.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was a horrible, horrible situation, and it didn't have to happen for a lot of reasons. I testified in that trial as a material witness for the prosecution, and it was at that time when it really catalyzed for me the importance of, especially in an urban environment, the importance of having stable, kind of emotionally stable, well-mannered dogs. It's crucial. It's really crucial.
And most people just do not understand, or they don't know the difference between obedience and behavior.
No, they don't. They don't. And puppy, and I look at, you know, when people say, oh, well, I took my dog to puppy class. So, well, that's, you know, fine. Most of those, you know, it's kind of like sending the kids out for recess and giving them all a bag of candy bars to eat.
Correct, and Kool-Aid.
And a bunch of Kool-Aid, and then expecting them to behave after when they come in after
right,
lunch.
And then tell them to calm down. Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of education, and, you know, it's going to be a long road, and it's going to be a steep road. But I think that in the end, this idea of having a community, I mean, my dogs go with me everywhere. And they're welcome everywhere because they know how to behave themselves. And I always like to say well-mannered children and well-mannered dogs are really welcome pretty much anywhere.
Right. Well, we don't do husbands or children.
We're going to head to break real quick. And Kathy, stay on because we are going to talk to you a little bit more about this. You've got a big project on your hands. And I know that you have some plans to create a template for others too. So I'm interested in hearing about that.
Fantastic.
But we're going to head to break, and we're looking forward to hearing more about the vision that you have and what plans you have. And we'll be back right after these messages.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
All right, we're back. You're listening to Leader of the Pack with Susan and Mark. And right now we're talking with Kathy Brooks from the Hydrant Club in downtown Las Vegas. Now, I have a quick question for you, Kathy.
Sure.
Originally, when we first started talking to you, it was called Downtown Doghouse.
Yes. What happened?
Yeah.
Well, so I this is where I kind of hang my head with a mea maxima culpa. I came to town and, you know, it was downtown. I thought, oh, well, it'll be like a doghouse. So I, you know, downtown doghouse. I did a cursory name check. I didn't come up with anything online, for any businesses in the area. So, I kind of merrily skipped on my way. And, about 2 weeks ago, I got a communication from someone who's actually been running a business here for about 2.5 years called The Doghouse. They're located on the far south side of town. They are a retail space. Actually, the owners of the business, a lovely woman by the name of Jillian Plaster, she's a Cordon Bleu trained chef. And when she got out of culinary school, decided that she was actually going to focus on canine nutrition and created a high-end nutritional line for dogs, all organic, you know, basically the dogs eat, you know, better than the humans kind of food, really good stuff. And she has a retail store that is essentially primarily for selling the food, but they also sell the usual things that you would find in a store, leashes and collars and cool t-shirts and all of that. But the name of the business is The Doghouse. And she was here first. And the one thing that was very important to me in coming and becoming part of the community here is, you know, as an outsider, Susan, as you noted, I just moved here 5 months ago from San Francisco. And there is an existing community here, people who have been working very hard in rescue and trying to rescue breeds and educate people on spay neuter and educate people about nutrition. And there's some people who are doing some really good work here. So it was very important to me to be very respectful of the people who already had established their presence here. Had a great conversation with Jillian just last week. We have a lot of synergy in the way we think about taking care of pets. Mark and Susan, I know that nutrition is one of the core parts of having a stable dog, making sure that your dog is eating the proper food and getting the proper nutrition that it needs. I think you will enjoy meeting her as well, because she understands that when you give your dog the proper nutrition, not just so that it gets strong and that its coat is, you know, in good condition and its skin isn't ishy, but, you know, much like me, when I, you know, if I eat too much candy, I feel like crap the next day. Or if I eat, you know, I may really love fried chicken, but I'm not going to feel so good after I eat it.
Right.
You know, so if I what I put in is how I am.
And we tell people that, and, you know, it's like feeding your kids McDonald's for 30 days and see how they feel.
Now,
real
good.
Quick, Kathy, how did you come up with Hydrant Club? And we saw your logo. It's a little fire hydrant.
Yes. So we are building a 13-foot fire hydrant on the property that will be the world's largest functioning fire hydrant.
Wow. So is it now, okay, let me see here. Is it just for urinating, or is it going to, like, keep the dogs cool?
Yes.
It'll have a sprinkler system in it, right?
It will have a sprayer in it. So especially, nice. Like, let's say you're a runner and you're running by outside, there's a button you'll be able to push. But there also will be a hookup for a proper fire hose.
Oh, wow.
So an actual functioning fire hydrant. So that's where that came from. We actually had that as part of the design, and then we started looking into, you know, changing the name. And you know, this is the idea behind this business and how this vision came to be is part of the Downtown Project Revitalization, which is about creating a very community-oriented effort at rebuilding a city. You know, bringing in capital investment at the top, but also empowering the people who live in a community who are very passionate about their work and helping the community work together and find ways to work together. And so when I started thinking about this endeavor of really reimagining how a space can look in an urban environment for educating people about canine behavior and not obedience and getting your dog, like it's great if your dog can leap 40 feet off the end of a dock into the water or jump in the air and catch a frisbee over its shoulder, or it's a bomb detection dog, or it's an agility trained dog. These are all really exciting and interesting things. And for breeds, certain breeds that have certain behavioral needs, it's nice when you have activities for them to do that play into that, but that can't be equated with the actual behavior of your dog. And people just don't understand that. And I moved here from a city where there are more dogs than there are children.
Nice. I want to live there.
I know, right? It was one of the reasons I didn't necessarily want to leave, but there are literally more licensed dogs in the city of San Francisco than there are children registered and noted in the city of San Francisco. And every single neighborhood has a park that's at least a couple of acres. So you have an environment where dogs are part of the fabric of the city. Most deeply urban environments, dogs are an add-on to the city rather than incorporated into the fabric of the city. But it doesn't have to be that way. And so really envisioning not just for this urban environment, but now also starting to talk to corporations and saying, there's no reason, you know, you own your building, Facebook, you own your campus. There's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't allow dogs in the building. However, the people who are bringing their dogs to work need to understand what responsibility that is. And they need to understand how to educate themselves in handling of their dogs and leadership of their dogs so that the dogs can be responsible canine citizens while at work.
One of our quotes is, if we can't change the human, we can't change the dog.
Ain't that the truth?
It sure is. And this project is so exciting, and I cannot wait to see what all you guys have planned. I'm excited for our trip. We're going to see you very soon, so I'm excited about that. We're actually about to go to break, and next up we're going to have Julio on to talk about puppy Prozac. And Kathy, I know this is a subject that interests you, so if you want to hang out and listen in, we would love you to stay on.
I've blocked the time. I can't wait to hear it.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show with us, and we're going to head to break.
Your pet may be sick and not even know it. Your pet may appear healthy, but a vast majority of healthy-looking pets are actually infected with parasites and other infections that do not manifest themselves until they overwhelm the pet and the pet finally appears sick. Sometimes, by then, it is too late. To find out more about how you can help your pet to stay healthy, then go to www.quantumvetcare.com. That's www.quantumvetcare.com. www.quantumvetcare.com.
Hey, pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made. And here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
All right, we are back. You're listening to Leader of the Pack with Susan and Mark. Next up is our expert correspondent, Julio Ferrari. He is a clinical veterinary nutritionist and one of only 40 in the U.S. He is our canine nutrition guru, and today's topic is puppy Prozac. Welcome back, Julio.
Hello, how are y'all doing?
Great, how are you?
Good, good, good. Well,
thanks for joining
this is
us
a topic
again.
That's very near and dear to my heart. I've been treating a lot of puppies lately. And when I say puppies, I mean puppies of all ages. I've seen it prescribed for puppies as early as 4 months, which I really doubt that is actually necessary. And I did something interesting last night. I went on several forums that I'm a part of, and I posted, look, we're going to be online. This is going to be the topic of the radio show. I would like you to comment on your experiences with dogs on Prozac. And more people, there was an overwhelming amount of response. And people with every kind of breed has come out and said, yeah, my dog had problems at the groomer, and the veterinarian prescribed Prozac. My dog had a separation anxiety. The amount of dog owners that told me that their puppies were prescribed Prozac for separation anxiety was unbelievably, I didn't expect that amount of people. And that's just very alarming for me, because as a scientist, I know what Prozac does. I'm not saying that it's not absolutely unnecessary, but I still have not seen a case where I can say absolutely given Prozac where just exercising them properly and giving them the proper kind of behavioral training and even the proper nutrition wouldn't resolve it. I had a personal experience with puppy Prozac several years ago, about 15 years ago, maybe a little bit more, but I don't want to sound as old as Mark. I was coming from South America, coming back over here to the United States, we had a little Chihuahua who he was about 4 years old at the time, and we gave him, the veterinarian at the time gave him a Prozac so he could travel the 10-hour flight. And at the time we had to send him underneath the cabin, and when we got him, that puppy was shaking, bleeding from the mouth. He had tried to bite his way through the wire cage. Never again did I give any dog Prozac, because what I saw, that the collateral effect, the side effect that it gave that dog was actually quite the opposite, and it could have killed my dog. If we had to go to Los Angeles instead of Dallas, I know that dog would have gotten there, wouldn't have made it.
Wow. That's what really bothers us. Mark and I both with the puppy Prozac is that it's not even just a growing trend. It's out of control. It's being just prescribed left and right. And as behaviorists, it's difficult for us to understand when a client goes to the veterinarian and says, my dog has separation anxiety, my dog has aggression. We've seen it prescribed for quite a number of different behavior issues. It's frustrating to us because we know that the veterinarian is not going into the home to see what's going on there. And
exactly.
We know that the canine behavior issues, at least 90, if not more, 90% or more, falls back on the human is doing something incorrectly. And it's so difficult for people to understand that it's something they need to change what they're doing if they want the dog to change its behavior. They're doing something wrong, not realizing it, and multiple things wrong, not realizing it. And the vet is not going into their home to see what that is. They're just taking the client's description and verbalization of what's happening and saying, okay, well, let's try Prozac. Well, no, let's fix what the people are doing first.
And it goes
beyond that. There was one comment here on the forum Yorkie talk that was really interesting, but so very true. They say that most of the dogs that are on Prozac actually the owners should be on Prozac.
And I
see that every day. I had a client the other day come in and tell me my dog has fibromyalgia.
Oh, great.
Now, in humans, that's already hard enough to diagnose. I've got fibromyalgia in my family here, so I've seen very closely what it is and how hard it is and to diagnose, and not there aren't a whole lot of specialists on it. So immediately I asked her, which vet diagnosed your dog with this disease that I had never heard about it on dogs. Said, no, it wasn't my vet. It was me, myself, because I've got fibromyalgia, and I know that my dog has the same problems that I do. And this dog specifically was on Prozac as well, and which just makes me think how many people are just mirroring their symptoms, their problems, what they're feeling into their dog.
Well, you know what? That's very interesting because I've actually talked to you, Julio, about the Yorkies we've been working with. And we have a family that has three little small Yorkies and another small terrier mix. They're all little dogs. And it's a mom. She's probably about 60 and the daughter's in the 40s, late 30s, 40s. And the two of the little 7-8 pound Yorkies are wanting to kill each other. And we just discovered after a few visits in the last week that the sisters have sibling rivalry, and it's coming out in the dogs.
Yep.
Because they each own one, and and that it's again, it goes back to the human. And here's it real quick, and then we'll have to go to break. But we go in and see an aggressive dog that's on Prozac. Well, he's still aggressive. So what did the Prozac do? Now I'm treating an aggressive dog that's on Prozac. So I have to get the dog off of Prozac. Well, I can't tell them that. They have to go to their vet.
Yeah, so we're fixing to head a break. But, Julio, I know that you have mentioned that you have some other options, maybe some more natural, holistic options for Prozac. So
absolutely.
we're anxious to hear about those as soon as we get back from break. And we'll be back right after these messages.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all 4 paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
And we're back. You're listening to Leader of the Pack with Susan and Mark. And we're talking puppy Prozac with our clinical veterinary nutritionist, Julio Ferrari. So Julia is going to tell us some holistic and natural ways to, I guess, provide some calm energy to dogs that are anxious, depressed, or aggressive. So tell us what you've got, Julia.
Well, there's. I'd like to start by talking about some of the side effects that Prozac, that fluoxetine, can cause. And it's funny because some of the side effects are actually anxiety, irritability or aggression, and sleeplessness and hyperactivity. And I saw that on my little Chihuahua when he got it to go on the plane. But I see a lot more dogs having the side effects than having the benefits of it. So that said, what I usually do when a dog comes into my clinic and the pet parent says, well, I don't know, I'm thinking about using Prozac, or I was recommended to use Prozac. I never go against the veterinarian, but I always ask them, hey, let's look at this option, and I would like you to discuss it with your veterinarian. And just to make it very clear, I am not a veterinarian. I'm a clinical animal nutritionist, a licensed clinical animal nutritionist, but not a vet. So I always try to have them have that discussion with their vet. And one of the first things that I ask is, what kind of food is your animal on? Is your pet on? 9 out of 10 times, it's a high sugar food. So the first thing to do is put them on a low glycemic index food. That's a food with no potatoes, with no corn, no wheat, with minimum starches, a food that the binder in there is going to be usually something like either yams or pumpkin or red lentils, a food like Great Life or Horizon Legacy or Precise. Those are foods that will keep, Avengers, those are all foods that are going to keep the glycemic index a little lower. The second thing to do is look at what treats you're getting. Because a lot of times people say, oh, no, but I'm on this food, it's a fantastic food, and then they're giving Chicken McNuggets as a treat. So, you know, I've seen so many people do that. They come in. First of all, I've discovered pet parents are all liars. There's not one that comes and tells me the truth. I have to dig for it. And I love when pet parents walk in with their children, because small children don't lie. They always tell me. I ask them, so what kind of treats? Oh, I don't give them any treats. Then the child looks up and says, yes, you do, Dad. You give them McNuggets, or you'll give them a hamburger. And those are all foods that you want to stay away from. You want to keep them in a low glycemic index treat as well. And there are plenty of treats that fall under that category. Now, there are supplements that we can use. The first and foremost, and I hate sounding like a broken record, but probiotics are so necessary. Probiotics will help them absorb the nutrients that they're not absorbing. So give them probiotics no matter what. But there are plenty. Herbsmith makes an excellent calming supplement with valerian root and with a lot of different things that will help dose them down. There's a study that we're running right now with a new it's a cousin of the coffee plant. It's a plant called kratom, and it's had fantastic, not only calming down properties, but also pain relieving properties. And that was on humans as well. So we started seeing the results on humans, and we decided to start trying it on dogs. And it's just amazing. Now, kratom is not FDA approved. It's not, there is somewhat of a controversial, black cloud around it because of I believe that it's actually being used to take people off of Vicodin and other abusing other drugs. So I think that there's more of a pharmaceutical interest in not having it approved than anything else, because we've never seen one negative side effect on it. And as much as when I read the scientific papers, I always see good stuff on it. When I read the media on it. There's a little bit of negative media, but I've never seen it negatively written on scientific papers. I really think that there's a whole pharma industry around and against it, because the day you come out with a natural supplement that can substitute Prozac, substitute Vicodin, substitute Percocet and all of that in just one natural plant, that's the day that the pharmaceutical industry goes broke. So I think that's one of the reasons why there's not more studies around it. But we're doing our own independent study, and we're having some fantastic results with it.
Well, tell us some of the results.
Well, we've seen, I have around 60 dogs on it right now, and we've seen every pet parent that comes back to us says, my God, it's changed my dog. I've got a different dog right now. And, of course, this is not on its own. I tell people there is no miracle drug if you don't change the way you treat your dog. You know, a lot of people come to me with a dog that they think has a psychological problem and needs Prozac or needs something because it keeps biting, but they're walking in with their little chihuahua on their holding him as if he were the king. And I tell them, well, that's where the problem starts. You got to stop carrying your dog, and you got to start, you know, that's that. I don't want to get too much into the whole behavioral thing, because that's a Susan and Mike thing, but it's one of those, you know, most pet parents don't have a problematic dog. They are problematic themselves and have to treat first that side of it. Excellent. But once they do treat that, once they do start changing their ways around the dog, for dogs, like I have a Shih Tzu that is terribly scared of thunder, and 4th of July is the worst day of the year for her. So I put her on a small dose of Kratom, and this 4th of July, she was really nice and mellow and calm. Nothing startled her, and she wasn't drugged up. She seemed to be in a good mood. And that's what it's done also in the human subjects that I've talked to. It just puts them on a good mood, and it's not a habit forming, and it doesn't kill your liver like a lot of these drugs do.
And that's a big concern with the liver. We give not Ritalin, but the anti-inflammatory we give to dogs. That's also harsh
Remedil.
On their liver.
Remedil.
Yeah, Remedil. That's harsh on their liver also.
Yeah, and there are some, again, Herbsmith makes the fantastic milk thistle supplement that's great to clean out the liver. And it's something that really, really works. I mean, I've seen, we've done, where dogs have gone to the vet, done the liver enzyme test, and then 3 months later, after 3 months of milk thistle cap, come back with absolutely, clean sheets, you know, and with no liver enzyme problems. So yeah, if you give them the right food with some of these supplements, these are supplements that work. You know, I get really frustrated when people come go ahead.
Hold that thought. We're going to go to break, and we'll be right back in a few minutes.
Is your pet eating too fast? Well, we have the healthy solution. IQ is the perfect solution to help your cats and dogs lead a better life. With their new patented design, their bowl will make your dog and cat live a culinary experience by having them eat like nature intended. Having to play with their food not only reduces the chance that they have weight problems, but will also let them enjoy the chase, like they would in nature. Designed by a veterinarian technician, this bowl was acclaimed by veterinarians and behaviorists around the world and won Becker's Best in Show at the Global Pet Expo in 2012. Get one for your cats or dogs today at your local store or online at AIKIOU.com. That's AIKIOU.com.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
All right, we're back. You're listening to Leader of the Pack with Susan and Mark. And we've been talking puppy Prozac with the very enthusiastic and passionate Giulio Ferrari. So Giulio,
that's why I hate him.
So Giulio, finish your thoughts.
Yeah, I was just about to say that a lot of people come to us and go to, and I've heard this from holistic vets as well, that some people come in thinking that we're going to give them a little heebie-jeebie herb, do a little Indian dance, and their dog is going to never going to be cured with it. And that's not at all what we do. We actually do research. I do research with chemists, with biochemists, with vets, with every kind of scientist out there. And even though we are using natural herbs, these are herbs that actually work. We're not doing things on homeopathic kinds of giving them just little doses, and maybe in a year you'll see a difference. No, we are talking about things like kratom, for example, that within 15-30 minutes, it'll be working. We're talking about things like probiotics that if you have a dog with IBS, within 15-30 minutes it'll be working. I mean, it's things that really have an actual effect on the dog's organism. And the other thing that I was going to say is giving Prozac and giving things that nature, don't forget that you're only suppressing the symptom, not resolving the problem. You've got to think out the strategy of what you're going to do to your dog. Do you want to just suppress a symptom for 15 minutes, for an hour, to make you yourself happy? Or do you want to resolve the underlying problem that is causing that? So when you come to me, when you go to your vet, let's try to find what's causing the problem, and then we can resolve it.
I totally agree. It's like putting a Band-Aid on an infected wound. You got to treat the wound.
Well, thank you, Giulio, for joining us again. This is getting old. No, I'm kidding.
No, we love Giulio.
I'm just waiting for Mark to pass away so I can take his place.
Nice. It won't be long. I'm on Prozac, by the way.
All right. Well, it's time, Mark.
All right. Well, what time is it?
It's time for What Were You Thinking?
All right, what were you thinking? This is a segment that we do every week that we get to talk about what people do that drive us crazy. You just heard Giulio, how nuts he is about these vets doing certain things. Well, we're the same way when it comes to people doing certain things. Now, since we just mentioned separation anxiety and the vets put them on Prozac, let me tell you why dogs have separation anxiety. It's not a chemical imbalance. You know, he doesn't have low T and all that other stuff. There's a reason for separation anxiety in the canine world. And remember, we're dealing with canines, a species. This isn't a human, it's a canine. Canis lupus familiaris. And separation anxiety basically is lack of leadership. When we talk about our four essentials that a dog needs, we talk about leadership, walks, rules, and good nutrition. So I put it in a way to explain to people that if a mother was home with a baby, a walking baby, you know, baby that walked 2-year-old, 4-year-old, whatever, and she turned around and the baby was missing. Now, she starts looking around the house for the baby, looking under the couch. She's looking everywhere for the baby. Where did the baby go? I just turned my back for a minute. Well, then she gets to thinking about the pool in the backyard and thinks, I wonder if that baby slipped out the door and is floating in the pool. So she goes out to check at the pool. Well, she can't get out her house. She can't open the doors. She can't open the windows. She can't get out. What do you think that mother would do to try to find that child? Tear down a wall, bust out a window, chew some furniture, tear the house up? That's separation anxiety. Now, lack of leadership and, you know, in the dog world, a leader protects and provides. How can you protect and provide for your dog if the dog,
if you can't find them?
If you can't find it.
Right.
So that's why the mother will go crazy, and that's why the dog goes crazy. If he can't, if he cannot find you, if he's the leader and he cannot find one of his pack members, he's going to do something. So when we go in and teach leadership, now you're in charge, and we teach them how to walk their dog, and we set some rules, the separation anxiety goes away. It's that simple. They don't need drugs. They just need to change what they've been doing.
Well, and I think that's something that a lot of people confuse when it comes to separation anxiety. They look at their dog more as their child, and we equate separation anxiety with we're dropping our young child off at daycare or the first day of kindergarten, and the child starts crying and having a little temper tantrum because it doesn't want to be away from their mommy. And that's kind of the way the human sees it. And it's actually the opposite. The dog is seeing it as they're kind of the mommy, the person that's taking care of the human. And so the dog is panicking and tearing up the house because they can't provide and protect for us if they can't find us. And so it's just a simple role reversal, and once we change the roles back and put the human back in charge, the human is now providing and protecting, relieving the dog of their responsibility. The dog can just sit back and relax and say, okay, I don't have to do that anymore.
And in the real world, let's say the whole pack is in a cave and the pack leader leaves, the other pack members don't tear up the cave. They just know he's leaving. He'll be back. He's got a job to do, and they understand it. He set rules for his pack that they understand if he's leaving and he doesn't want them to go with him, he'll give them a growl. He'll go out. He'll roam around. He'll pee on things. He'll find something for himself to eat. But that doesn't mean the pack is back there tearing down windows and chewing furniture. They know he'll be back, and that's leadership, and that's the first essential the dog needs. You've got to be his leader, not him being your leader. Well, here's another thing that you know, people do that drive me crazy: greeting a dog with a hand in their face. Susan, have you?
It drives me nuts. I just see it every day, all the time. People walk up to greet a dog, and they stick their hand down in their face, wanting the dog to smell their hand. You just have to look at what dogs do. When a dog walks up to another dog, it doesn't lift its paw and stick its paw in the dog's face. That's not what they want to smell. Dogs, when they smell another dog and when they're first meeting another dog, they smell the rear end. That's where the dog's scent is. And so not that we need you to go stick your rear end in a dog's face when they greet, but the last thing you should be doing is sticking your hand in their face. It's offensive.
Right, yeah. And this could get you bitten.
Absolutely.
Now, people know, they've been told they've heard, people know, just people know in general that the dog needs to smell. They know that. The problem is they don't know how. So they'll go stick a hand in the face and that kind of thing. And here's the deal with canines, the species. Dogs, when they're first born, the only sensory organ that's open is their nose. They're blind and they are deaf. So what dogs need to do in their language is smell first, and then they see, because after they're born, a couple weeks later, their eyes open. So then they see, and then a couple weeks later, their ears open. Now they hear. So it's smell, see, hear. So what humans do is they come in, start talking and looking at the dog. Well, that's backwards. The dog needs to smell you before any eyeball or talking is done. So the best way to approach a dog to allow him to smell, and this is a dog on dog even, is you allow the dogs to smell, but not by sticking things in their face. You just stand still. When you walk in your house, just stand still and look at the ceiling. Now, your dog will come over. He'll see that you're not looking at him and you're not talking to him. And he'll say, hey, I'm a dog. I need to smell you. So he'll smell your feet, your crotch, your butt. It doesn't matter. He's smelling and he's doing what he has to do as a dog. People are trying to change a species by coming in and talking to him, wanting to pet him, looking at him. and they wonder why their dog growls, barks, jumps, carries on. The dog just wants to smell you. Let him.
And do it without looking at him. Ignore him. Let him smell. He'll walk off when he's done, and that means you can move about freely.
If everybody that has a dog... Oh, go ahead.
That's all for this week,
okay.
Because we are out of time. But remember, you can email us at pettalk@live.com. So thank you, everyone, for joining us, and have a great week.